What made Peter so excited to jump into the water right when he heard that it was Jesus and to swim all the way there, although he and the other disciples were in a boat and they were about to land there? But he was so excited, once he heard that it was Jesus, he just jumped right into the water and swam to him without any hesitation. When we read the whole Gospels and when we know the story of Peter and how he interacted with Jesus before he died, we can get a hint as to why Peter was so anxious to see Jesus. It was because the last time that he saw Jesus, one of the last times that he saw him, he had completely denied that he knew him. And that was at the most important moment of his life. That was right before Jesus was about to go into his suffering and into his death. St. Peter was asked if he was a follower of Jesus, and he said, "I'm not a follower of Jesus." And then they asked him again. He said, Not only am I not a follower, I don't even know him, and I've never seen him before. And imagine how he felt after knowing that after he denied Christ, Christ went off to die brutally and be crucified on a cross. So imagine the guilt that Peter felt. And then imagine when he heard after the resurrection, after they were there fishing, and Jesus was there on the shore, and he told them to cast the net on the other side after they had caught nothing all night. And then John said, "It is the Lord." John knew that it was Jesus. And then John, who wrote this gospel, probably 60 years after these events happened, because John's gospel was the last gospel written. And John always does this thing where he leaves these little details in the gospel that when you read them, you think, why would he leave this here? It's all throughout John's gospel that he leaves details that you would think, how could he remember this from 60 years ago? He leaves the timing of the day. He leaves the certain amount of fish that they caught, 153 fish. And he leaves a specific detail that I want to focus on in this homily, that if we read it, we would think, why would John put this in here? If the gospel is the word of God and it's meant to teach us about Jesus and the story of Christ and how we relate with the story of Christ, why would John leave the fact that Peter, right before he jumped into the water, that he put his clothes on, that he was stripped for work because he was a fisherman, and that his garment was off, and then the moment that he jumped in, he paused, and he put his garment on, and then he jumped into the water, and then he went to Jesus? Why would John leave that detail there? Why would it be so important for Peter to be covered when he goes to Jesus? Why do we talk about, for example, modesty, about covering up our bodies? Why do we, in our tradition, we cover up when we're with a person who is very respectable? Why do the women wear veils? Why do we cover up when we come to church, for example? We first have to understand the importance of the body. If we're going to understand why Peter took such an effort to cover up his body, we have to understand the importance of the human body. And the human body is not just a physical thing that's going to die and that's of no importance. The human body is so important that God himself came down to earth and he took our human body. And so Christ, when he took on our human flesh, he sanctified, he made holy our bodies. That's what Christ did when he took our bodies. That's why our bodies, not only our souls can and should be in union with God. But St. Paul tells us, do you not know that your bodies are temples of the Holy Spirit? Our bodies are holy because Christ took a body. Christ lived in our human flesh. He lived in our world. He became like us in all things but sin. So that's why it's important to have respect for the human body, not just for the human soul, but for the body. Pope John Paul II, when he was speaking about immodesty, about revealing too much, he says, immodesty doesn't reveal too much of the human person, both men and women who dress immodestly, not only in our dress, but when we act immodestly, when we speak in an immodest way. He says it doesn't reveal too much of the human body or of the human person. He says it reveals too little because it takes away the dignity of the human person. It makes it so that when you reveal too much of your body, he says, we make ourselves like we are objects only. And we attract people just to look at our bodies, and we forget about the fact that our bodies are holy and that we have souls that live forever and that should be in unity with God. He describes it as, and the saints, when they read these gospel passages and when they interpret them to us and when they interpret how we are to live in our bodies, they say our body is like a treasure that's meant to be shared with special people, ultimately with God. And in our case, in the case of this world, that really disrespects the human body. The human body is meant to be shared in the fullest way with one's spouse. And that is being lost in this culture a lot of the time, in this culture that we live in. And it's not the way of the Lord. It's not the way that the Lord made us. It's not the way that the Lord made our bodies. Our bodies are meant to be respected. And a lot of people struggle with sins of lust. It is a big problem in our world. Not only with being impure before marriage, but with other things that have to do with immodesty, like with sins of pornography, for example. And a lot of people struggle with these sins because it's all around us. And because that's how the world is making it. But just because the world makes it that way, just because the world normalizes things, even the certain outfits that are very popular in this world, both for men and for women, just because an outfit is popular doesn't mean we should wear it. Just because a certain action or a certain word or a certain song, just because they are popular doesn't mean we should partake in those things. Modesty is not just about the way that we dress, like I said. It's about the way that we speak, and it's even about the way that we feel and the way that we think. Christ wants us to be holy, not just on the outside, not just the way that people look at us, but he wants us to really be holy. He wants us to fight the sins that we struggle with. That's what the battle for purity is about, and that's what Peter realized. He realized that he had sinned greatly, that he had gone against God's will. And he had really offended the Lord. But because he realized that, that's why he changed his actions. Unlike another person in the gospel, who we know that just before Peter's story, we know also greatly offended the Lord. It was Judas, who denied Christ, who was there when Jesus gave his body as bread for us, who received his body, and who after he ate the body of Christ, Judas ran away from the Lord, and he went and betrayed him. That's what Judas did with his sin. He ran away from Christ. What did Peter do with his sin? He ran to Christ. He jumped in the ocean and he swam to him. He made that such a strong effort, but before he did that, he realized the importance of having reverence for the body of Christ. It's when we realize that, when we have reverence for the body of Christ, that's not only here in the church, obviously, but that's everywhere. When we realize that we need to have reverence for the body of Christ and we need to act, live, speak, and think in a holy way, that's when we will be on the path toward holiness. That's when we will be on the path toward the salvation of our souls and overcome our sins and have Christ be in our heart, because he can guide us and he will guide us on the way to purity in this world of struggles, in this world of temptation. So we ask Mother Mary's prayers, who was so modest, who was so humble in her words, in her thoughts, in her actions, in the way that she dressed. We ask for her prayers so that we can be guided by them. We can be guided closer to Christ as he makes us holy by his grace.